This morning, I'm glad that I wasn't asked if there was a song that would go well with the lesson, because we're going to talk about the devil, and I don't know of any songs that we have in our songbooks that are about the devil. But one of the things that I really want us to get out of the lessons today, as it'll be a two-part lesson, is just an overall knowledge of Satan, a knowledge of how he will operate in our lives, and maybe a few things that we can do as individuals to protect ourselves, to guard ourselves up against Satan and those things that he will do to us. I want to ask a question this morning, and I would like everyone to think about this question in their minds. How much do you know about the devil? How much do each of us know about the devil? We might know different names. We know that he's called Satan. He's called the dragon. He's called the evil one. He's called a lion. He's called the serpent of old, Lucifer. We've heard these names. We've picked them up over study and listening to different sermons as years go on. We might know some of the stories that he's in. We might know of how he tempted Eve, or how he tortured Job, or how he even tempted Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. And we might think that with those things, we know some things about Satan. We might even be able to recall that in Revelation, we can read that God will win that final battle against that serpent of old and the Lamb, and that the Lamb will be victorious in the end. Revelation chapter 17 bears that out, that the Lamb will conquer them, for He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. But how much do we really know about Satan? So that's just information. That's just a name or an account that he happened to be in. That's not really a very good knowledge of Satan. I know that much about you all here. I know that you're the Waynesville Church of Christ. You're the congregation that meets here. I know that you meet on Sundays and that you meet on Wednesdays. I know you have a singing every third Wednesday. That's about all I know. I don't really know any of you very well. So how much do you know about Satan? In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, it says, "And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him." Satan is on this earth, and he is referred to in this verse as the deceiver of the whole world. How much do you know about this individual? I would say that as Christians, it's pretty important that we know a lot about this person. He is, in fact, the deceiver of the whole world. If you don't know much about a person that is trying to deceive you, if you're not aware of the things that they will try to do to you, it's going to be very easy for that individual to manipulate you. It's going to be very easy for that person to deceive you. And so a knowledge of Satan is absolutely essential to a Christian as we try to fight him and stand up against him. But sadly, and something that's very scary to me, is that the image that the world has conjured up of Satan is totally false. If you do a Google image search for the devil, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get a big, scary red man with a tail and a pitchfork, maybe standing in the flames of hell, ruling the people in hell. But that's not accurate. That's not correct, but that's one of the things that Satan has done. He has deceived the entire world into thinking that he is a big, scary monster, when in fact, he is a wolf in sheep's clothing. He is deceiving us and coming to us as an innocent dove, but ready to devour us. We need to be vigilant to ensure that we know who Satan is, to make sure that we are not ignorant of his devices. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. This is kind of the basis for the lessons today. Verses 5 through 11 is what we'll read. Paul says to the Corinthians, "Now if anyone has caused pain, he has caused it not to me, but in some measure, not to put it too severely, to all of you. For such a one, this punishment by majority is enough. So you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him, or he may be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. So I beg you to reaffirm your love for him. For this is why I wrote, that I might test you and know whether you are obedient in everything. Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. Paul was urging these Corinthians to be a forgiving people. And then at the end of that, he says, so that we're not outwitted by Satan. Why are we not going to be outwitted by Satan? Because we are not ignorant of his designs. Paul understood, if you're ignorant of Satan's designs, if you're not aware of the tactics that Satan will try to use, you very well may be deceived. And so what are those designs? What are the devices that Satan will use against us? One of the most powerful tools that I believe that Satan has is fear. Satan uses fear to cripple Christians and to stop us dead in our tracks. Fear is used by many people today. Fear is used by all kinds of people in all kinds of situations. It's used by bosses in the workplace. I would say that's probably not a good idea, but it happens. It's used by military people. It's used by leaders. Fear is a very powerful tool that, if used incorrectly, can get you what you want. And Satan knows this. Look with me in Matthew chapter 10, verses 26 through 33. This is a verse that we have all read many times, I'm sure. But it's nonetheless important. In Matthew chapter 10, beginning with verse 26, it says, "Have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that it will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Satan would and will use fear to stop us from standing out and acknowledging Jesus before men. How many times have you been in a situation in your life where you have had an opportunity to acknowledge your Lord and Savior, to say something, to take an opportunity to teach someone, and yet because of fear, you let that opportunity go? I don't like picking up people in the audience. I've done that. That's happened in my life. Because of the people in the group, because of the people that I knew would fight back and attack me back, the fear of that situation got the better of me, and I remained silent. Satan used fear, and he will do that to every single one of us. He will try to get us to be afraid to speak out. If you want an example, think about the situation. Think about if Jesus asked you to come into your workplace and shout out that you believe that the Scripture says that homosexuality is a sin and that God does not support it. That would be scary. That would be really hard to do. It would be really hard in the current country that we live in and the way that things are going. It would be hard to stand on the rooftops and preach that sermon. We cannot allow that fear to cripple us. We cannot allow that fear to silence us. Jesus says that if we confess Him before men, that He will confess us before the Father. But He will not confess us if we do not confess Him. Are we afraid? Are we scared to confess Jesus? We cannot allow Satan to get the better of us. We have to understand and kind of step back and look at the situation and realize what Jesus says. Do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. You know, if you said that at work, if you stood up in some group and announced that you believe that homosexuality was a sin, chances are they probably wouldn't kill you. But Jesus says, even if they were to kill you, don't fear them, because they can't kill your soul. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, it says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." We should have a spirit of power, knowing that we have been saved by the Almighty God, not a spirit of fear. Satan will also use these next two things, almost interchangeably, to get us to be so distracted that we can't even focus on God. Satan will use worry and anxiety, and I believe that he has done a great job of that in this country that we live in. How much anxiety do you keep in your life? How much worry do you have every day about different things? Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's your children being apart from you. Maybe it's somebody traveling. Maybe it's somebody sick in the hospital. Maybe it's some situation that I'm not aware of that you have in your life. How much worry, how much anxiety do you have in your life? Satan would absolutely love it if he could keep all of that worry in your life stuck there so that you become so distracted, so focused on that, that you don't have time, you don't have the mental capacity to think about God. If you would turn to Philippians 4, because we're going to read in Philippians that that doesn't have to happen. That God is giving us a free ticket to have a peace that surpasses understanding. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, again, very common knowledge verses, but still very important for us to learn. "Rejoice in the Lord always." We could stop right there. That could be the end of this lesson. Rejoice in the Lord always. Don't be so focused on worry and anxiety that you can't rejoice in the Lord. "Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." We did an interesting study on Philippians recently, and this verse was something that I paid a lot of attention to. He says, do not be anxious about anything. What does that leave out? Nothing. How in the world are we supposed to not be anxious about anything? That is a tall order. He says, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What does that mean? That means we pray to God and we turn it over to Him. We have a situation that's causing us worry. We have a situation giving us anxiety. Pray to God, over to Him. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have responsibility in this life. That doesn't mean that we sit back and we do nothing. We say, God's going to take care of it all. We still have responsibilities. We still have a job to do. We still have things that we must take care of. But that we understand that God is in control. Romans 8, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. Turn it over to Him, and you can have a peace that surpasses all understanding. People go to extreme lengths to find peace. People climb mountains People seek out people of wisdom. People will pay money. All in the name of finding peace. All we have to do is let our request be made known to God. That's so easy. And yet, we're so worried and so anxious in this life that sometimes we forget about God. Sometimes we forget about our job as a Christian. And that's exactly what the devil is after. If he can keep us distracted just enough, we won't focus on God. Satan will also use the truth. Now, this may not make a lot of sense on first glance, but with just a second of thinking about it, it makes a lot of sense. Satan will use different parts of the truth to tempt us, to confuse us, maybe to just misdirect us a little. We know that the account of Jesus that we mentioned earlier in Matthew, he used Scripture to tempt Jesus, but he took it out of context. And that's the problem. Satan isn't going to give you the whole truth. That's why we have in court, do you swear to tell the whole truth, all the truth, and nothing but the truth? That doesn't leave anything out. Satan never took that oath. And he never would. Because he doesn't use all the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. He might use part of the truth. He might use a little bit of the truth mixed with a little bit of lie. He might take it just enough out of context that you know that's in the Bible, but it seems like it's wrong. And you get confused. And we get mixed up. This is exactly what he did in Genesis when he tempted Eve. He used parts of the truth. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. We're not going to read the whole thing. But in that, the Satan said to Eve, For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. Is that wrong? No, of course not. That's exactly what happened. The tree of knowledge of good and evil, when they ate of it, their eyes were opened, they saw they were naked, they understood right from wrong. Satan wasn't lying. In the sense that he was speaking something that was completely false. Now he took that out of context. He took that out and he separated that from the command they had been given from God. And he said, don't look over there. Be focused on this. I'm going to give you something you know is true, so you won't look at the whole truth. And of course we know that Eve did eat. As I was studying this, I actually noticed that again, Satan did this earlier in the story. He said, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? He's saying, God at one point gave the command, you may eat of any tree. Right after that he said, but don't eat of this tree. But the words did come out. You can eat of any tree, but just not this one. Satan stopped just short and said, God said you could eat of any tree. He said after that, you can't eat of this one. But we're just going to look at this part of the verse. He's deceitful. And sometimes we will hear these people teaching parts of the truth. They will use scriptures. They will pull texts out of context. They will make them seem like they say something that they don't. And they will confuse us. It's very difficult. It's very hard to see all the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. It requires great effort. Are we putting forth that effort? Satan has been doing this for thousands of years. He's got an extremely big advantage on every one of us. There's a lot of young people here today, and something I'm learning, I'm only 25 years old, so I'm not very old. But in 25 years, I can see an extreme difference in the way that I reacted to situations throughout my life. You know, when I was 10, and somebody said I couldn't have something, I'd get pretty upset, and people would know that I was upset about it, and I would throw a temper tantrum or whatever to try to get what I wanted. When I was 17, and somebody told me I couldn't have what I want. I said, yeah, right, I'm going to go get it. And I went out and got it. Neither of those are the right attitudes to have. You know, now, as an adult, I understand you can't always have what you want. Life doesn't work that way. And so when someone says you can't have that, I say, all right, well, okay. And I move on. Right? We see how we mature throughout our lives. And there are people much older than me that I'm sure have noticed that in their lives, that they have matured over the years, and that things that might have upset them once maybe don't upset them anymore. Maybe things that used to really get you going don't really get you going as much anymore. And you understand that you have to mature and grow up. Satan has been doing this for years. And if in 25 years I can come from a place of throwing temper tantrums to being able to accept what I can and cannot have, if I can grow that much in just 25 years, how much do you think Satan can grow in thousands of years? I mean, he's not maybe maturing the way that we as Christians should mature, but he's gaining knowledge. He's had all this time to study and watch us as human beings and how we react and how we do things and how we work. He's got it down to a science. And so are we putting forth enough effort to thwart that? Are we putting forth enough study time to understand the Scripture so that someone brings us part of the truth, that we don't get confused and led astray? You know, there were lots of people that happened to in the New Testament, lots of times where the apostles had to go and visit these congregations and tell them, look, you have been led astray. People have come in, they have confused you, they have misguided you, and you need to be brought back on the path of righteousness. Is that happening to us? In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, it says, therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by Him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. Satan is ready to help us twist these scriptures to our own destruction. And he will do anything in his power to make sure that someone is helping us be led astray as we try to understand God's Word. There's no doubt in my mind that Satan is using the truth to lead people astray every single day. And we have to be ready for that. In this letter, Peter says there are things in these letters that are hard to understand. As an inspired writer of God, and I think it's important that we understand, when somebody says something that is absolute, it is absolute. We're going to look at another verse today, and that's going to be one of the big points of looking at that verse, that the Bible says this. And there are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Peter says, these things, there are things that are hard to understand. Are we putting forth enough effort to understand those hard things? Because those are the things, Peter says, that the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction. You know, a lot of times we think of the word ignorant and unstable, and we think of somebody who's just, you can pick them out of a crowd. They are an ignorant person. They are unstable. But I don't think he means it quite in the way that we think of that today. I think simply it means someone who is not putting forth enough effort. Somebody who hasn't studied the Scriptures well enough to understand these hard things. It doesn't mean you are completely dumb. It doesn't mean that you're completely unable to understand. It just means that you haven't put forth the effort. And Satan will exploit that in a second. In Psalm chapter 55 and verse 22, the psalmist writes, "Cast your burden on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." That word moved means to fall. He will never let us fall. The idea being that God is there to catch us, that He is there to hold us up. He is there to be our crutch when we need someone to lean on. Are we taking advantage of that? Or are we being led astray by the truth? Are we being led astray by these other tools that Satan will use? Do we allow worry, anxiety, and fear to consume us and let us be too distracted to obey God? It's important that we think about these things. It's important that we recognize what the devil will do. Because if we come to that time where we recognize, or maybe we don't recognize, but the devil is working on us. He's hitting us with all we got. And we don't understand what's happening. And we get sidetracked, we get confused, we let our focus slip for just a minute. The devil won. We lost that battle. We need to have our minds sharp, our minds ready. We have to be focused on God so that we can overcome Satan. Like I said, he's been doing this for a long time and he knows what he's doing. We have to be sharper. We have to be prepared. We're not going to win this fight if we come in and we don't know what we're doing. Nobody wins a battle without understanding the tactic of the enemy. That's not how it works. You have to know your enemy. Satan is our adversary, and we're fighting him every day. I hope that these lessons will help us to understand a little bit more about Satan so that we can be prepared. And in the next lesson, we're going to talk about some things that we can do ourselves to be ready for those things. Have you been defeated by Satan? Have you fallen? Maybe you haven't ever won that initial victory. Maybe you've never been a Christian, been baptized for the remission of your sins, to have those sins washed away. Think about your life. If Jesus came back this very moment, would you be ready? Would you be excited to see Him? Or would you be absolutely terrified, wishing that you had another day to get your life right with God? The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Make things right with God while you have the chance. If we can help you do that this morning, come forward now as we stand and as we sing.